Hello, welcome to Queer Love Forever, the podcast where I give you food for thought about queer love and I give you advice whether you ask for it or not. I'm Kim, I'm the queer matchmaker, and it's been a while. It was Pride Month and then resting from Pride Month, and I have no idea what I said in the last episode or what I may have promised was coming next. Please let me know. Because I actually can't listen back to my own voice like that. But anyway, this week I want to talk about when you're just not that kind of girl to get what you want out of dating. It's almost part of your personality, it's almost part of your way of being. So, like when parts of dating just don't fit with your self-image or your idea of yourself, and I'm very excited to get into this, but first, I'm going to do a little update and I'm recording video as well. I don't know if I'm going to put it out, but it's making me awkward. So, first, an update, right? So, Pride Month. It was very busy, and if you follow me on Instagram, you will have seen I was doing lots of events and a campaign and lots of different things. And it seems to have taken me a month and a bit to recover. Like most queer business owners, I was doing lots of work. And I wonder if I'm built for such a life, honestly, of super busy periods and then recovery. The way I'm saying this makes it sound like I had a crazy party time during Pride Month, which is completely not the case at all. I have quite a limited social battery, so doing the extra events I put on was overwhelming enough. I don't think I went to a single Pride event as like a punter, to be honest. Maybe, oh, I went to a drag night. That was good. But anyway, there was the launch of the Queer IRL campaign, the badges I sent out and gave out to over 400 of you during the month of June, that indicate to those in the know that you are queer and single slash ready to mingle. In fact, here are the badges. If you're watching if I put out the video and if you happen to be watching it, this is what they look like. They say Queer IRL. Or there's one just with a star. And it was really cool to see some of them out in the wild being worn by people that I don't know, that had ordered them or found them at different venues that were giving them out. Anyway, it was kind of like a way to help queer single people or queer people who are interested in connecting with others in a romantic way to spot each other at queer events, not just at singles and mix and mingles and stuff, but at all sorts of queer events. And to have that little boost of knowing that somebody is available and interested in being flirted with. Yeah, so that was lovely. And I've had some lovely feedback and stories and reels that people have made related to that. Please always send me your stories related to my events, my work in general. I always love to hear about it. And if you comment them on Spotify or like you let me know that I can talk about it on the podcast, I will read them out because it's some of the stories are very sweet. So, as well as that, there was the Fruit Salad Events Collective had its real debut as a group. The Fruit Salad Events Collective is a bunch of event organizers. I think there's like 40 of us now, something like that. Like all queer event organizers making a variety of different events. And we released our collective online calendar, which I will link in the show notes. And that's courtesy of the hard work of James and Eva and Geeks for Social Change as well, who did all the work to make it a pretty and functional collective calendar. So if you're looking for a queer event where you can meet new people for dating or for friendship, community vibes, whatever you want, then you can, any of those events are in some way suitable for meeting new people at. Like it's not a club night or it's a club night and there's a nice quiet space where you can chat. Yeah, so we've got that online calendar, and for Pride Month, I made a print version, which I gave out to many of you. And it gave a big list of all the events where you could meet new people and wear your queer IRL badges to find cuties to flirt with. So those two things were like quite a lot of prep and work and a bit of pressure to, like, I guess, make it exciting, make it a big deal for all the other event organisers. And then there was also extra events that I ran, so it was a lot of fun. sounds so reluctant. I had a lot of fun at the events, especially at Disabled Queer Prom. That was incredible. Lucy Webster and I put that on together under our, like, event name, Everybody Queer, which is socials, talks and parties for disabled queer people. And we put that on together with the Albany, with Abby from Big Queer Picnic, Celine from Dykes on Mics, Rosie Jones hosted it for us, and we got some funding from Restless Violet Zine and Gay Times, gave us some money, and all of those of you who donated to the crowdfund all contributed to making that event happen. That was an amazing night, and we are already thinking about how we can do it again and, you know, how that would work out, and it's very exciting. Make sure you're following Everybody Queer on Instagram to see any updates about that. I also did a whole Bonanza. That was a standout event, working with Sophie from Bonanza. Bonanza is like a queer country night, and they have performances and line dancing from Strapping Country, which are these two line dancing teachers I've worked with before. It was lovely. We had such a fun time, and everyone who came along was so lovely. I'm always a fan of some line dancing. Make sure you follow Bonanza and Strapping Country to hear more about those events. Because the one we did together was, like, specifically for singles and ready to mingles, but there is a Bonanza twice a month, one at the Cock Tavern in Southeast and one at the Boogaloo. Both incredible people to work with. Love Bonanza, love Strapping. And let's see, there was also the Big Queer Book Fair, raising money for Common Press. Lovely, lovely. And some co-working with the Albany, and all the usual events were run by Bella and Izzy and Lily, sweet angels and wonderful hosts. And of course, there was some fun karaoke matchmaking at Sweet Suffix Karaoke, which is like a collaboration between me and myself, because I also run Niche Karaoke, which is like a karaoke night once a month. Each time there's a different theme or artist. The next one is Chapel Roan, but that's not until September. I will link it anyway, so you can come and sing The Subway at the top of your lungs. Sweet Suffix Karaoke was really nice. It was a lovely energy in the room, but it was also the hottest day of the year, so those massive fans that we have there came in very handy. And the last event of the month was Queer Farm Club. That one was run by Izzy and Lily, and I helped out with the cooking this time as well. Lily is leaving Farm Club. Lily was doing the community meal, so we kind of cook together, but there needs to be somebody to sort of lead the cooking. Most people help with, like, chopping and grating and peeling and all that stuff, but Lily would kind of make sure that we ended up making something that was good. And yeah, so Lily's going to be leaving. So if you would like to cook at Queer Farm Club, please do get in touch. Email me. Email in the show notes. I can't stop saying show notes. Anyway, that day, that last event of the month, I finished up the cooking and went home and shaved my head. My partner shaved my head for me, and it was such a release. The last time I did it was when I finished my degree. I shaved my head, came home from the last exam and shaved my head. And it's a lovely kind of release, refreshing, renewing thing to do. It's very emotional, I think, to cut hair. And I highly recommend everyone to do it at least once to find out what shape your head is, you know? And I'd planned it since the start of the month because I knew it was going to be so busy, and I wanted to sort of shed all of the stress, like do a physical expression of releasing the stress when it was all over. I feel like that energy has also expanded out into the rest of my work, this kind of like the intention of stripping away all of the things that aren't needed anymore. And yeah, things are going pretty well. I've restructured some of my work in ways that probably aren't noticeable to anyone else, but still. And I've clarified my client work, so there are some updated packages on offer if you would like some dating support. I'll link my booking page as well so you can have a look at that. And I have some spots now for new clients. So if you'd like to do some dating coaching, or if you'd like to get an intro to queer dating, if you're new on the scene, newly out, or newly out of a relationship and you want some help getting out there and you're a bit scared of dating apps, go for intro to queer dating. I keep saying yeah. You can tell it's been a long time since I've done this. I've also updated the Queer Zine Dating Workshop series that is also available to book. The first one is about rejection, and I've kind of done it this time, so each workshop is about a different topic. So the first one's about rejection. That's next Saturday. What is the date next Saturday? I'm gonna check. So that's gonna be on Saturday the 16th from 12:30 until 2:30, and that'll be in Deptford at the Albany. It's a lovely space that they let me use, that Lewisham Wellbeing Hub lets me use for client work and for workshops. So if you want some help dealing with rejection, getting comfortable with rejection, if you feel like the fear of rejection is holding you back in dating, sign up for that one and check out all of the other workshops that are coming up as well. So, basically, I've done a lot of prioritizing to make sure that my life is sustainable and I can deliver the best to my clients and to all of you listening. And it's very exciting. I'm feeling quite energized. But it is an ongoing process to keep focus, so we'll see how we go. On a personal note, I've had some heartbreak and a pretty big change of life plans recently. I think that's partly why my main focus recently has been on the admin side of things, because writing about love, writing podcasts about love is not very fun when you're heartbroken. It can be quite tough. My focus has been on admin. Love a bit of admin. Anyway, that's how I've been doing, and maybe it's no surprise to hear that I've found prepping the workshop about rejection to be quite difficult. This podcast episode was going to be about rejection to extra encourage me to do that, but it's not the moment for it. So while I was trying to do that, I was thinking about that strange sort of embarrassment you get about having been rejected from asking somebody out. I don't know, like you suddenly feel like very perceived, like everyone around can see you or something. It's kind of like this feeling about having been too confident, or having been duped, or having kidded yourself about how the other person might feel. Something about being seen to have thought like that they would say yes is embarrassing, I don't know. And it kind of made me think about self-image and like why we think we kind of expect these things from ourselves. What, like the embarrassment of being seen to have thought too highly of yourself to think you could ask someone out. But like, why shouldn't you? The opinions and judgment of others is not important, and it's none of your business, and you might never know about it. That's very easy to say and hard to internalize, but really, if you are to succeed in anything, be that asking somebody out or anything else, the only one who really needs to believe that you can do it is you. You're the one who's going to be doing it. And yeah, like, I know that sounds kind of wanky, maybe, like, you just need to believe in yourself. But I'm like getting towards a different point. And by succeed, I mean be able to ask somebody out, not necessarily to get a yes. The only part of the interaction you can control is your half. Like, the only part of the interaction is that's in your control is asking them. And yeah, accepting that it's something that you can do is a perspective only you need to be convinced of. Part of this is related to self-esteem for sure, and I've spoken about that before, but I've noticed another element involved with it all. It's come up like with a few clients I've worked with and a few friends that I've been speaking to about dating recently. It's like, it feels like there's a limit on what we can do built into our personality somehow, as in things that we aren't the type to do, so to speak, and type is like in air quotes. I think it's because we're quite devoted to a concept of ourselves, even without realizing it, of what sort of person we are and what sort of experiences, connections, and outcomes we can expect, like what things are likely to happen to us in our life because of who we are and the way we are. And acting outside of our usual demeanor is somehow like shameful or fake, or at the very least that it's like noticeable to others around us. Okay, I worry that this isn't coming across. Let me give you some examples. So the first one is about me, and it's got nothing to do with dating. It's about the gym. So I've been going to the gym, you can probably tell. For the longest time, I felt like I was just not the sort of person who could be like physically strong. I felt somehow like predestined to be weedy and like weak. And this even felt at odds with how I saw myself in some ways. Like, I've always thought of myself as being like taller and like broader than I actually am. I always assume that I'm the same height as people who are like much taller than me. And I could not believe it when I was told that I give little bird energy by my sister. Yeah, so even though it didn't feel aligned with how I wanted to be, I felt destined to be a small bird and that I couldn't be the sort of person who is strong and takes up space in that way. And certainly not through going to the gym. Something about the energy of the gym, the aesthetic, the music, the culture of the gym felt like I was allergic to it or something. And yet now I go almost every day. The gym is a space, and like, it's a space that I feel comfortable in now, and it was actually not too tricky to make that change. It felt uncomfortable and unfamiliar at first, and it meant that I risked being judged and risked standing out in that space. But now I feel very comfortable there, and I've built enough strength in my shoulders to no longer get headaches and migraines all the time. So that's nice. The same kind of process could be applied to dating. The same thing could be said about the way that you feel about dating, love, connection, feeling that like there are spaces that you just shouldn't be in for some reason. Even if you see yourself as someone who deserves connection as much as the next person, you can still feel like the spaces and scenarios in between you and meeting someone are not places that you belong, that you're not the sort of person that goes on dating apps, you're not the sort of person that goes to singles events or flirts with people, you're not the type of person who could ask somebody out, give them your number or kiss them at the end of the date. You couldn't be the object of someone's affection, that you're just not the type of person that people fancy and want to say yes to. And again, there is an element of self-love or self-confidence here, which I've spoken about building confidence before, but for this episode, I'm just talking about when it's something to do with your persona or your aesthetic, when you feel like your look or your persona isn't compatible with romance or sexual connection, like you feel sort of desexualized or fiercely living in the friendship role, like it's just not happening for you. It's just not something that you could experience. I have an example that will maybe speak to the androgynous and more mask-leaning queers. And this is Funny Little Guy, or Funny Little Guy Syndrome. So when the way that you like to present and dress, what feels like authentic and good to you, the way that you behave feels akin to like a wholesome, funny little guy character from a cartoon or a film or something. So think like Bert and or Ernie, Tintin, Woody from Toy Story, SpongeBob, Ash from Pokemon, Bert from Mary Poppins, the guy from Ratatouille, any one of the male Muppets, especially Gonzo. This is like the funny little guy vibe. There's a few different genres, but there's some examples. And to be honest, I think we all sort of know that being a funny little guy doesn't exempt you from a rich and deeply sexual romantic life. Funny little guys can be hot. In fact, many of you may have gasped to hear your fave mentioned on the list there. I mean, having a crush on Tintin seems to be a deeply queer experience, especially in the trench coat. It's like such a dreamboat. And the funniest little guy of all is with the hottest babe there is. I'm talking about Kermit the Frog, of course. And yet, if you are a funny little guy, it's possible you won't appreciate your own sex appeal and feel a bit too funny, too little, too wholesome to do dating. Too Muppety, if you will. Take a moment to think about what that could be for you, like what aspect of your persona or your aesthetic feels somewhat at odds with the dating life you want. It'll be different for all of us. And I'm talking about personality traits and aesthetics here. It could be your shyness, your persona as being responsible, your goofiness, stoicism, a seriousness, being hardworking, being wholesome, being feminine and demure, funny and sarcastic, friendliness, being super friendly, being small, being supportive, being messy, intimidating, intense, big, organized, chaotic. It could be anything that you feel keeps you out of spaces and scenarios in dating. And I'm talking about persona and aesthetics. I'm not really getting into identity because I think that there are, you know, kind of societal prejudices about identities that can leave you feeling excluded from love and romance and sex. But I think that's a slightly different thing that I'll talk about later. Think about that sort of persona, character trait, aesthetic preference. What is that for you that makes you feel like dating isn't something you can do? Because I'm here to tell you that this aspect of your being does not exclude you from the connections and spaces you want to be in. You can be who you are and still ask somebody out. You can be who you are and show up to a singles event and flirt and go on dates and kiss and be kissed and have the experiences you want to have. Let's look at some ways to teach your brain this fact that it is possible for you to be yourself and to have the dating life that you want. So start by gathering evidence that the trait that you have in mind is compatible with dating. The brain loves to look for evidence for why we aren't good enough. So we have to actively ask the brain to look for evidence that we can have what we want the way we are. So look out for other, like if your thing is that you're a funny little guy, look out for other funny little guys in culture and in the world who are in love. Kermit the Frog, for example. Find movies, songs, TV shows, examples that you can sort of see yourself in a bit. Look for the people who look like you finding love, finding dates, or whatever it is that you want. It's kind of like a see it to be it type of thing. Keep your eyes out in culture, but also when you're out and about, see the funny little guys with their partners and remind yourself that it's not incompatible with love. It's important too, at the same time, to start being the thing and being in the spaces your way. Ignore the idea that it all has to be smooth and within the expectations of others. It doesn't have to be smooth. It doesn't have to be within the, you know, typical cishet expectations, the way that you are. If you're shy, you can ask them out shyly. If you're intimidating, you can reveal some vulnerability on the date so they can see behind that persona. If you're awkward, you can ask to kiss them awkwardly. The way that you are is enough and is lovable. Just give the other person the chance to love that thing about you as well. And if you feel you need a boost to take that step, to like ask the person, to flirt with them, to kiss someone, to, you know, take that step, you can tap into the confidence or bravery you need in that moment. I'm gonna show you how. So to access this, you could do some affirmations. That's classic. We've all heard of affirmations before. You could write some down in your phone, like on your notes app, to look at before you get to the singles event or before you get to the date. You can also remind yourself of how you feel around close friends that you're comfortable with. Like, for example, I know people who like to look through pictures of their friends for a virtual hype up when they need a bit of a boost. And yeah, it's nice to get it from those who love you the most. You can also borrow from moments where you feel authentically confident and brave using this exercise. So if you are able to, like, I suppose, take a moment to focus on this. I know I listen to podcasts when I'm like doing the dishes and cleaning and doing graphic design and stuff. But if you can, take a moment right now, take a deep breath and close your eyes or soften your gaze and bring to mind some moments or situations in which you feel confident and brave. This could be a specific time, like if something specific comes to mind, when you're with specific people, doing a hobby that you love. A lot of people feel it when they're creating or making art, writing, singing, playing music, if you're working out, dancing. Any moment that feels confident and brave, when you just feel like you're kind of existing in the fullness of yourself. It might help to note down some of these on your phone or on paper right now. But if not, just kind of like bring them to mind. Now, take a deep breath again. Again, close your eyes or soften your gaze and think about how it felt in those moments. Try and get into detail, like the physical sensation of feeling confident, of feeling self-assured, the emotions that you feel in those moments, the thoughts that you might have in your head, the parts of your body that you notice more, like maybe if you're doing something creative, you kind of like become really aware of your hands, or if you're dancing, maybe you feel really aware of your shoulders or your hips. Focus on the feeling, focus on how you feel from the inside and also how you kind of see yourself in those moments. If you see yourself as being like quite big and broad and taking up space, or like delicate and wispy, I don't know, whatever those confident moments are for you. Now, once you kind of distilled the sensation of being really confident and really brave, turn it all the way up, turn it up to 11, embody that feeling for a few minutes, kind of like let the confidence sensations feel really big in your body, like you're almost glowing with it. And take another deep breath and see how you feel. You might feel different. You might feel a bit more kind of like you do feel in those moments. Kind of bring that into the present moment with you from those memories, from those sensations and feelings. And know that you can access that feeling whenever you need it. Before an event, on a date, in the toilets, as you take some deep breaths before asking that person out, know that that's there for you whenever you need it. And I love a trinket, so it can be really helpful to assign that feeling to an object or give it a name or something. Like, for example, I have an earring that I always wear when I'm working an event. It's like a little, I have like a silver hoop in this ear that I actually can't take out. It's stuck. But I have another silver hoop that has like a little orange face on it. And I always wear that when I want to be in kind of like host energy, when I want to kind of remind myself that that's what's happening and that's the energy that I need to bring. So find yourself an object or a name for the feeling, so that you can kind of consciously be like, okay, I'm putting on my earring now and I'm letting that feeling kind of seep into me. Yeah. And please let me know how it goes if you try this out. I always want to have feedback. Give me feedback. I love it. And just like me at the gym, it's going to feel a bit uncomfortable and familiar at first, even if you do, you know, kind of boost yourself up beforehand and you feel big and confident. Doing a new thing in dating is going to feel a bit uncomfortable at the beginning. Going to an event for the first time, asking somebody out, asking somebody to kiss them, going on the date, it is unfamiliar if it's new to you. And you do risk being judged and standing out, just like me in the gym. You are risking rejection. But rejection is an important part of dating, because unless you fall deeply in love with the first person you ask out forever, rejection will be a part of dating. And the sooner you bring who you are to the table, the sooner the two of you can see if it's a good fit or not. And if rejection happens, whichever way, one of you rejects the other, that's fabulous news. You discovered that it's not a fit between the two of you and you can meet other people now. Now, this whole thought train, as I said, could also apply to identities as well. Less persona and more concrete elements of who you are, like your race, your disability, religion, background, your age. I haven't really kind of brought the thought through those more overarching identities yet. Haven't been able to think through exactly how it applies, and I'd want to be very careful and give that some more time and space to develop in my mind before talking about it. But for now, I think cutting through the personas and the character traits and aesthetics is enough for now. So yeah, like I said, I'm getting very repeaty now, but I think that there is more of a conversation to have about how this thought process could apply to identities. Another goal that I have for myself that the gym is helping me with is to get more comfortable with spontaneous, casual conversation with strangers. I've always had some trouble with this, but the combination of like unmasking more and more, as well as at the same time running my own events for many years, means that I really need to practice talking to people in my local community when it's not an event that I'm running. Because if I'm running the event, there's a very clear role that I have, and everyone there is queer, and I'm kind of like, my job is to sort of welcome people, make sure they feel comfortable. And so talking to strangers when it's not an environment that I control is something that I need to practice. The part of the gym that is helping with that is the sauna. Funnily enough, my local leisure centre has a sauna now, and it's another migraine trick that I've found actually to have a sauna or a warm bath after exercising to help the muscles relax and heal, so that they don't like kind of tense up and cause headaches and migraines. Carefully, of course, because drastic temperature changes can also trigger migraines. Oh my God, it's such a tightrope. Any other migraine sufferers will know what I mean. But anyway, the sauna turns out to be a place where I feel comfortable chatting to people. there's usually people already chatting a bit. You kind of say good morning as you come in, but there's no expectation or pressure to talk. It's quiet. People don't mind if you take your time to reply. I mean, it's hot in there. They get it. It takes some time for thoughts to come through, and you can leave whenever you want. You can be like, okay, that's me. I'm done. I need to go. and it's not really considered rude. I am really enjoying chatting to the older folks at my sauna, at my local leisure centre. and I'm not suggesting that you go looking for dates in the sauna, although depending on what you're looking for, the sauna could be exactly the right place to look, if you know what I mean. But what I'm getting at is finding the spaces that work best for you. So for me, kind of like doing that casual, spontaneous chatting to strangers isn't so easy in other environments. Like, for example, in the gym itself is probably my worst nightmare if I had to kind of try and do casual conversation there. But in the sauna, it's an environment that works for me, and you can find spaces that work for you to do these kind of like dating connections in. I can obviously offer you 4 different spaces at my events, and I'll tell you about my events in a minute, but there are all sorts of queer events going on these days, many of them on the Fruit Salad Events Collective calendar, but so many queer events, you can surely find a setup, surely, you can definitely find a setup where it feels easier for you to meet new people and connect, an environment that feels most comfortable for you to be uncomfortable in, if you will. So, you know, some of us prefer a quieter environment to meet new people in. Some of us need some background noise. And there's events for all of the preferences at the moment, which is really nice. Although, you know, it's hard out here for event organisers. So please, please go to queer events. Please buy your tickets in advance. This is a PSA. Don't leave all the queer event organisers stressing about numbers. Get your tickets in advance so we can all sleep well at night. Oh, yeah. So that's some advice about how to kind of like break out of whatever box you feel like you're in with your persona, your aesthetic, your character traits that make it feel like dating isn't something you can do. And don't forget, the person that you talk to or ask out or go on a date with, they get to experience you on that day, that moment. They don't know about how your past dating life has gone, how scary it is for you to be doing this, how you see yourself in your own head. They don't know that you're being uncharacteristically brave as you ask them out, that this is perhaps your first time ever doing that or your first time even going to a queer event. They just get to be charmed by you in the moment. And it reminds me of the feeling I often get at big events that I'm running or working with. I'll often start off the event feeling sort of like frustrated and angsty because I can see all the aspects that we planned but that didn't come together. All the things that I couldn't organise in time, all the parts that aren't perfect, aren't how we imagined. And I'm so focused on how perfect it could be that I can't see how amazing it already is, that it is good enough. I usually need someone to remind me. And so I will be the one to remind you that you are good enough and wonderful enough and hot enough and gorgeous enough and charming enough and lovable as you are already. Right, if you'd like some events where meeting new people for friendship and dating is the priority, check out Fruit Salad Events Collective calendar. It's in my bio, and the events that I'm organising that are on that calendar, we've got the Sapphic Mix and Mingle at the Vagina Museum. That is on Thursday the 14th of August, and that is literally built for meeting lots of people in a way that is more chill. And the monthly Mix and Mingle at Dulcen Superstore, that's on Wednesday the 20th of August. Both of those events are run, it's kind of like group dating. So you'll sit on a table of 6 people, chat for half an hour, and then half of the table moves to another table and you get to meet another three new people. So it's kind of like speed dating, but slower and with more people. It's a bit of a more natural environment to chat to people in. We've got Queer Farm Club on Sunday, the 24th of August. It's a week earlier than usual, and that's from 3 p.m. at Spitalfield City Farm. The Rejection Queer Zine Dating Workshop is on Saturday, the 16th of August, from 12:30 till 2:30 at the Albany in Deptford. And you can, if you'd like some more one-to-one attention on dating, you can work with me. I have some slots. I'm not taking any new matchmaking clients at the moment, but I do have slots for Intro to Queer Dating, which involves a bit of matching actually, and Queer Dating Support, which is sort of like dating coaching sessions. All of those links will be in the show notes. Please do write in with your woes, questions, feedback, and thoughts. You can comment stuff on Spotify, or I have a Google form in my link tree if you'd like to ask a question anonymously. I want to send some like love and gratitude to all the lovely people that I worked with during Pride Month, that I've mentioned them all. Everybody that helped with all of the events and made them possible, and all of you for showing up to the events. Thank you for coming. And finally, to steal a tradition from the White Pube podcast, I'm going to ask for an emoji for you to comment if you've gotten to the end of this podcast. It's a cute little game to also make it feel less like putting this podcast out into the void, to get some sort of a signal back that doesn't require you to, do more than comment an emoji. Plus, it's really confusing to anyone who hasn't listened to see a post or a podcast with like loads of comments of an emoji. I love that. The emoji this week is going to be the muscly arm because of the gym. That's it from me. Have a lovely day. And queer love forever. Bye.